know, this week you had me thinking about all those people out there that we've come across, and really without compassion, I don't think you could truly go out there and be a witness for Christ, let alone present them the gospel.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to talk about tonight. As the Lord tarries, there's less and less. You're going to see less and less compassion out there.
Yeah,
there. Yeah. Well, we have our Lord and Savior to look up to as far as compassion is concerned. He personified it.
Yes.
You know, he humanized it. He showed those around him that it can be a part of our nature.
Yes, amen.
He can only help us. He can help us to endure what we're going through now, what we see around us on a daily basis, or he can help us in the future. In the future, we're not promised to be safe and sound.
Right.
There's going to be persecution. Believe it or not, we're going to need that compassion.
Yes, amen.
I mean, amongst other things.
Amen.
You're locked and loaded, too. But you're going to need that compassion because, the devil's just working overtime. He's really after people. And not the people that don't come to church, that don't come on, nothing to do with God. It's not them that he's after. He's after you, me, your kids, the young for one. He's double time with our youth.
Amen.
So I want to start off by going to James 5:11. Actually, let me just read it. I wrote it down. It says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful," or compassionate, "and of tender mercy." Not like the tender mercy I remember playing as a kid. I don't know if you guys ever played this. It was a game called Mercy. You block up with somebody, and you see who went. Twist his hand the most, or their fingers. It was pretty brutal. And it was come on top of that, or win, as I remember. Well, there's really no mercy at all sometimes. Or we should be thankful for God's tender mercies, which are, the strength that he gives us.
Amen.
We really need it. Believe it or not, you need strength from the Lord, not from the world. You get that protection about yourself.
Yes.
If you're following in God's plan, you're following in his footsteps, for protection about you. You get assurances. If you're born again, saved child of God, what assurance do you have?
Amen.
What's going to pull you away when things start to get really bad around you? We have the rapture to look forward to.
Yes,
and he snatches us up. He gives us guidance. He lasts for it. And most of all, he gives us that loving and that kindness. So why is compassion so important to a Christian? Well, it's in the word itself. Christ.
Amen.
If you say that you're born again, you want to walk in his footsteps, you'll have that compassion for people. He surely did. What are some of the things that he did? He fed the multitudes of over 5,000 people. It wasn't with much. That's what the Bible tells us. It's a bread and some fish. He healed lepers, he healed the blind. There's a parable of the unforgiven serpent in the book of Matthew, which I want to touch on real quick. It's really a picture of what Christ has done for us. 18:21. This all starts when Peter asks, "How oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him?" So seven times. Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee, unto seven times, but unto seven, 70 times seven." That's a lot of forgiveness.
Yes.
So he goes on to the forgiven servant. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Therefore, as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had in payments to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me.'" You begged. Remember? You begged him. "And shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors, so he should pay all that was due unto him. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Has the Lord not done that for us?"
Yes. And be pretty hypocritical for me not to be able to act.
Yes. And I know that's talking about forgiveness, but that all comes from compassion. You know, he used this parable to reinforce the power and the importance of the principle of forgiveness, the point of forgiveness. And it's to show people sympathy. And I wonder if we use the word compassion. I'll just say it again. But sympathy. Being right along the same lines. You know, why should you be sympathetic? Why should you be forgiven? You've been forgiven.
That's
why should you be forgiving?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, we still have that flesh and nature. You know, we're still sinners. We're thirsty by grace. But, you know, as a Christian, people always look for certain traits about you. You know,
that's
qualities.
Right.
You know, I know sometimes we get fleshly. This is probably going to be, or it's going to be an ongoing problem until we're with the Lord and we have a renewed body, a glorified body. I mean, I can only imagine. And but it says so in the Word, so I believe it.
Amen.
So what do you do, you know, when you're with, like Brother Roger just mentioned, that his co-workers, you know, they're pretty much, they don't want nothing to do with the Word. It appears they don't want nothing to do with the Gospel of John or the Book of Romans. What do you do? Because, well, like at our jobs, what do we look to? We look to be honest, right? We look to be sympathetic. People want to see how much compassion we really have. So when we get ourselves caught up in the things of the world, and we keep our focus on things like that, people will see that. Because, you know, that you're just like, they'll just say they're just like me. You have the same worries, you stress about things that I stress about. We're called to be different. And again, you know, if we keep that sympathy, that compassion about us, we will be different. I understand we have to keep working at it. It's not every day you wake up and you're cheery and maybe not as loving as we should. But just always think about what Jesus not only did for you, but he's done that for all these people that we talked about. The lepers, the blind. We don't want to let that flesh inside where we're not that sympathetic side of us. So Paul knew it, and he wrote it in the book of Romans, Brother Paul. And this is in chapter 7. And I'm going to quote one of the verses out of there where he goes, "Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." It's that sin that keeps us from saying that people lie. It's sin that in reality we're no different from people, from those that are lost. Unless you're asking the Lord Jesus into your heart, it's the only thing that makes you different from them. And Brother Paul said that this was after his conversion. He knew all about listening to the flesh and doing fleshly things. He killed many, persecuted many Christians, but he was saved by grace. And Paul also knew that if it wasn't for the Lord's pity, his sympathy, and more importantly, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, that he so sympathetically gave unto us, that without that dwelling within us, sin would dominate us.
Amen.
Why would I say that? Because it has. And so grateful for the dwelling of the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing that really keeps us at bay. The Holy Ghost is given unto us as yet more proof of God's compassion for us. The book of Romans tells us in chapter 5, verses 8, "But God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
And he demonstrated his own love, that agape love.
Yes.
That we can, I think I heard the pastor put it as only love that I can have for my wife, for my kids. That's the kind of love that Christ has for us.
Now,
you can understand it to that point, but beyond that, I'm not going to die for a bunch of people. He did. That may not sound right, but I'm not going to die for one individual, put to the test, probably. Close to my kids or my wife. So now I want to go to a psalm. Psalm 34. This is David's praise unto the Lord. And he did a lot of praising, and rightfully so, if anybody was showing tons of mercy and sympathy was King David. Yeah. 34:17 says, "The righteous cry, the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and seeing such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bows, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
Amen.
You're not going to be held guilty. You're not going to be held to torment. That's one of the Lord's assurances. So this is kind of brought on, like I said, about going out there and talking to the people out there at the Super Bowl outreach. It was really encouraging, you know, to meet people like Brother Jim and Brother Jess, Steve, and most others, and everybody, you know. Everybody here that went, it was a blessing.
Amen.
Only the Lord knows who was saved and who wasn't, who actually went home. Maybe they kept the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans with them. We can only pray. It was a real blessing because I had Jessica out there with me, Caitlin.
Yes,
there.
Amen.
And they kind of did a little team thing where she was passing out the pins. People really like those pins.
Uh-huh.
And Caitlin even gave them the Gospel of John and the Romans. And
that's awesome.
That was encouraging to see, and it was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to be out there with Brother Francis. He's a new born again believer, and I can see the enthusiasm in him. Actually, brother, the next day I was doing the same thing. Gospel of John, Book of Romans. If you can get him to hear something good, something out of God's word, the Lord is impressed. Pray for a good outcome. To be saved, we won. And there was a couple other people that we were able to talk to, and they were interested in the church. So show in the back. We'll see how the Lord deals with that. So now I want to go to one more scripture from the Book of John. Chapter 11, verse 32 to 36. This is after the death of Lazarus, of course, you can imagine. He has all his loved ones mourning, and his sister Mary, Martha, Jesus. Let me just read up to 36. It says, "Then when Mary was found where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him."
Yes.
Wow. That's what we want to see. Or what we want to show others so that they can see that in us. Yeah, weep if you have to, about things that really tug at your heart. Just be the testimony that you have to be. For this dying world that's every day just seems a little darker. And I've said this before, and I don't like looking at the news, because not so much that I'm scared, but I don't know what's going to happen, but it'll bring you down. That's when I got to go to the Word, and I get give you some solace. And she gives us solace, too. Because we don't know what's going to happen in November. Things aren't going to be good. That's what we got to keep moving forward. You know, with the revival coming up.
Amen.
Use that as, you know, something to keep you going. Saturdays, this Saturday, we'll be going back out. Telling others about Jesus, what he's done for us. Passing out our flyers. So, make a plan to go with us. You really don't need to pray about it. That's something you should be doing. Well, that's all I got for tonight. Sis, would you come up and we'll do an invitation? Would you stand?